This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Were high-profile hacks coming from a Chinese military group?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. A computer security firm is releasing a report today that links cyber attacks here in the U.S. to hackers inside a Chinese military group. The Chinese government is denying the allegations, which come from a company called Mandiant. For more, let's bring in Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz, who is in Shanghai for us. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so first of all, what does this report say?
Well, Mandiant claims it's tracked one of the world's most prolific cyber espionage groups to a single building here in Shanghai, about an hour away from where I sit right now. In its report, it alleges that this building is occupied by a Chinese military unit with hundreds, maybe thousands of employees that for the last 7 years have hacked into 150 different businesses and organizations, mostly in the United States. And they were across more than a dozen industrial sectors, IT, transportation, energy, aerospace, telecom, you name it. And the Chinese Foreign Ministry today called the allegations groundless, and they were based on rudimentary data.
And you've done some digging of your own and found some questions about this report.
Just a little. You know, Mandiant included a video in its report of a Chinese hacker doing his business in real time. And in the video, the hacker signs up for a Gmail account. And in doing so, inputs his cell phone number as a verification step. The narrator of the video from Mandiant says the cell phone number is a Shanghai number, and he reads it out loud. Well, today I called that number of the supposed Chinese military hacker. The number rang, and an old woman answered. I told her I was a radio reporter, and she agreed to be interviewed. And here's some of our conversation. So I'm telling her here that her number was in a report as the phone number of a hacker, and she says she is not a hacker. In fact, I had to explain to her what a hacker was, and she told me that she's a 69-year-old farmer and that she's had this phone number for many years and that she's never used it to launch a global cyber attack. She also told me nobody had called her to verify whether the number was one belonging to a hacker, so it was a little strange. Again, Mandiant said this number was used on behalf of a Chinese hacker. Now, my call doesn't really prove anything to the contrary, but it does provide a little additional information that the report left out.
Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down 1% in Hong Kong, up 0.3% in Frankfurt. The Wall Street Journal is reporting this morning that Office Max and Office Depot are in advanced talks to merge. They're apparently trying to fight off tough competition from the likes of Staples and Amazon. Wall Street was closed yesterday for the President's Day holiday. On Friday, the Dow added 8 points to close at 13,981.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
One of the top cops on Wall Street isn't a federal official. He's Eric Schneiderman, the attorney general for the state of New York. And right now, he's got his eyes on the big credit rating agencies and the role they may have played in the financial crisis. Eric Schneiderman joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Now, one of the things that's happened, and this is not about you, but investigations and lawsuits in general, especially against the banks, is that they tend to end in settlements rather than going to trial, which means the banks end up paying money but not admitting any guilt. Do you think there's a problem with that?
Well, this is the way our legal system is structured, and there are really two competing goals here. One is accountability, and that's certainly one of our key goals. We want the people who brought about the worst crash since the Great Depression to be held accountable for their conduct. But the other is getting relief to the people who are injured.
Fair enough. But there are a lot of people out there who would think it would send a nice, strong message if somebody were to go to jail after what happened.
I have no argument with that point of view, I think. It depends on the jurisdiction you have. It depends on the statute of limitations. There are a variety of factors. But we certainly have more of a commitment and a commitment at a higher level than we ever have had to trying to do justice in this area. And, I think you will see more cases being brought in the months ahead.
Finally, do you think the institutions that surround your office in Lower Manhattan have changed their ways in a significant enough way since the financial crisis?
Well, that's a big question. And it's I do think there still is a lot of room for improvement. I think, unfortunately, the net is that the banks are more concentrated than ever, that the potential for bailout is still there.
You think the potential for bailout is still there?
Oh, and it's absolutely still there. Look, the notion that is sort of embodied in the law that has been passed of a systemically important financial institution, a SIFI, the whole idea is that this is so important they should have a different set of rules than a smaller institution. And that's something I just don't buy. So this is something that, as far as weighing in on the rulemaking process and on hoping for additional legislation at the federal level, this is something I'm engaged in also.
Additional beyond Dodd-Frank.
Dodd-Frank is a work in progress. There will be more legislation. So I come out of private practice representing securities firms. I understand the mentality on the street, and I tell my friends on the street, you will never get back the confidence of the small investors until you get rid of this idea that this is an insider's game. And I think it's in everyone's long-term interest to clear this all up.
Eric Schneiderman, the Attorney General of the State of New York, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And if you've got questions or comments about anything you hear on the Marketplace Morning Report, we encourage you to go to marketplace.org and click on the link that says contact. You can also reach out to us on Twitter at Marketplace APM. I'm on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and we're on Facebook at APM Marketplace. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.